Hello, I'm Emily Bellet, founder of Vestpod and author of You're Not Broke, You're Pre-Rich, and you're listening to The Wallet. Every week we give you the best tips, guidance, and a good dose of inspiration and motivation to manage your money better. Our discussion today stems from a recent press release by NatWest Premier, shedding light on the surprising fact that one in five Brits do not share how much they earn with anyone, not even their partners. To help us further explore this topic, we have a special guest joining us today, Laura Newman, NatWest Premier's Head of Financial Planning. This episode is all about breaking the silence around salaries and how to navigate those conversations. We talk about common misconceptions people have about discussing salaries, how to navigate discussions about finances when there's a significant income disparity between partners, and how working with a financial planner can help you plan for the future. Remember that we are not certified financial advisors. Information shared in this podcast is for educational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. So Laura, when and with whom should we engage in discussions about sensitive topics such as salary, and what are the underlying purposes that justify these conversations?
I think while it can be scary to open up the books on your finances, I think it's important to discuss these things as openly as possible. And I think done at the right stage of a relationship, there are huge benefits to sharing your salary with your partner, namely that you can work together much more effectively to set and achieve any type of goal, whether that be financial or whether that be personal goals. I think it ensures both are contributing fairly, no one is being stretched financially, and that you're setting realistic goals for your future together. It will also mean you're accessing the right support based on your combined incomes. And I think you cannot have a strong financial plan for your future together, whether that's buying a home, holidays, renovations, without that type of transparency.
Amazing. But I guess these conversations are quite difficult to have. So in your experience, what are some common misconceptions people have about discussing salaries, and how do you address them?
That's interesting. A common misconception is that individuals feel that they either don't earn enough or they earn too much, and actually could be judged by that other person. However, I think the most important rule for a healthy relationship is maintaining open and honest communication. Be willing to talk openly about your philosophy of earning, spending, and saving with your partner. Talk about how you view money and what lessons you've learned about finances along the way, and be willing to listen to your partner's philosophy, their perspective, and also their knowledge base.
Yeah, I love the fact that, you know, it's really about this openness, not blaming each other, not blaming yourself also, because it's really hard to have these conversations about money. And I feel there's a little bit of work in terms of money mindset, maybe, and trying to understand, you know, what's your own relationship with money before you can probably have this conversation with your partner. And it's very important not to judge the other. And I think that's a really, really difficult part also of having these conversations. Talk us through, why is it important to actually have open conversations about, you know, salaries, and especially within relationships?
It's not just about salaries, but it's your whole financial position. Research has shown that where couples complete a money merger of their finances, it does three things. Number one, couples improve their feelings about how they handle money. Number two, couples are able to identify and work together more easily for shared financial goals and also personal goals. And number three, couples are more responsive to one another and meet one another's needs without a transactional mindset. They care for their partner without expectations regarding payback.
So I really love all these positives, but also can you maybe share some insight into why so many people, even those in, you know, committed, maybe long-term relationships, are still hesitant to discuss their earnings?
Wow, that's a big question. And we've talked earlier in terms of some of the reasons and impacts of doing this, but psychological research found that two main drivers of financial secrecy for people were the desire to avoid an argument and the desire to spend money on something for themselves without their partner knowing, unfortunately.
And if we look at some of these reasons, because it's, you know, even for myself, I think it's really hard to, you know, open up and talk about money and how much you earn. And I have this experience from, you know, working in banking. And I remember a friend of mine asking me how much you earn. And I thought, oh, you know, this is really awkward. I can't really tell her because maybe I don't deserve this money. So why do you think there's a general reluctance to share salary information? Do you think it's cultural? Is it educational, influenced by other factors maybe?
I think it's influenced by lots of factors. Historically, most societies believe that a man should be the main breadwinner, while some believe both partners should contribute. If one partner earns more money and feels it's unfair, they may become secretive. Similarly, the ones who earn less may actually hide their spending and their income to avoid being judged. And I think guilt is another consequence of income disparity in relationships. If they make more money, they may feel guilty about their financial status and, of course, any advancement they achieve in their career and whether they're paid the right money for that career, i.e. whether they're paid too much money or not enough. A financial power struggle is another result of money imbalance. If one partner earns more, they may feel they have more power over the other, and they may start using potentially coercive control to dictate what that partner does. Sooner or later, though, it does lead to significant problems larger than just financial problems in a relationship.
And what are some of the benefits of then, you know, openly discussing finances with a partner, according to your experience?
Being transparent and honest in any relationship is the foundation of trust and allows couples to work as a team towards their shared and their individual goals. Couples are more likely to achieve their collective goals and ambitions by working together as a team, and whilst not necessarily contributing the same amount as we've already alluded to, they are more focused and more fulfilled to work through for the same outcome.
And when we start this process of opening up about money and salaries, and you talked about planning and setting expectation, that seemed to be crucial before, of course, broaching the subject of, you know, salaries and sharing, you know, your number. Can you elaborate a little bit on why this step is necessary?
Let me put a financial planner's hat on, if I may, but explaining why we ask for and actually collect that data, how we use it and why we use it, is essential for gaining agreement, for everyone to be transparent with their financial circumstances. And it's really important that everyone trusts each other to understand that the reason for asking for that information is to ensure that the desired outcome is the outcome that's actually achieved. I think leaving gaps in financial disclosures does actually lead to poor customer outcomes, whether that be financially or whether that be personally. Either one, it can impact.
So how do you navigate discussions about finances when there's a significant income disparity between partners?
As we mentioned earlier, it's about enabling individuals and couples to open up with the use of great open questions on their shared goals, which are beyond the finances that underpin them. So starting with a mindset to focus on what they want to achieve and when they want to achieve this is the first simple step to any type of planning conversation. The finances are a means towards supporting and achieving that end goal, not an end in itself. So let me give you an example from my experience. Is that most people, when thinking about retirement, don't think first, I need a £1 million pension fund. Instead, they think about what retirement means for them. What will they do? Where will they go? What's on their bucket list? And what do they want for their family and their loved ones? Secondly, is the financial consideration to fund those aspirations.
So can we talk a little bit about maybe red flags? You know, are there any red flags to watch out for during these conversations that might indicate deeper financial issues that could be within a relationship?
When couples get together, we all imagine we grow together and share our history, and that includes your financial situation. Obviously, that happens over time, and as relationships grow and deepen, one expects that any reservations about being open and honest pass. I'm no relationship counsellor. However, I suggest that where you suspect a partner isn't being honest and transparent in any aspect, including finances, that breeds mistrust. And it isn't a great foundation on which to build a life partnership.
And how does the culture of salary secrecy contribute to perpetuating pay gaps, both within companies and across industries? And what steps can we take, we individuals and organizations, to address this issue?
I think salary secrecy is different across peers, colleagues and or friends than necessarily in a personal relationship. My experience is that it's not uncommon for peers, and I think we touched upon it earlier, to be reluctant to divulge their salary to a colleague, and I can understand that. I think the bigger role here is for the employer, who knows all that information across all its employees. And I think there's a certain moral and ethical duty for employers to look to reduce pay gaps, in particular, the gender pay gap. Whilst I understand that in business, salaries can be market and demand sensitive. Therefore, what's necessary to pay someone today for the same role may be actually different than what was paid last year. However, that's a different thing from having gender pay gaps as an example. But I think it is on the onus of the business to actually look to try and reduce those pay gaps.
And if we come back to, you know, what we can do for ourselves, you talked about taking maybe baby steps in these discussions, in these conversations. Could you provide some examples of these incremental conversations?
That's about, if we took it as from a financial planning perspective, that's about the financial planner building confidence and credibility with the couple. Naturally, disclosing the finer detail of your hopes, dreams and aspirations and the finance behind them relies on building a trusted advisor relationship. And that's fundamentally important in any type of business discussion, building that trusted advisor. We at NatWest take that responsibility very seriously and treat each client as an individual. Therefore, we move at the pace appropriate to the individual or the couple we're advising, ensuring they're comfortable at each step. However, to be sure our advice is correct, we do need that level of detail to ensure we're delivering great advice and the client gets the outcome that they actually need and the desired outcome that they want.
So based on your process at NatWest, can you explain a little bit how does, you know, seeking this, you know, financial advice can facilitate these conversations?
I think I've already said a number of things in terms of putting the client at the centre of the discussion and compiling a full and comprehensive wealth balance sheet, covering a client's income, expenditure, liabilities and assets, but all centred around their objectives. So understanding what they want to achieve, what they currently have in place already, and that's via that wealth balance sheet, and then ascertaining any gaps in their planning to achieve their financial goals and ambitions.
And you mentioned in your press release, and you can find the link to the press release in the show notes, that it's never too early to start planning. I completely agree with that. But as a mum and parent, can you please, you know, my question is, can you elaborate on how can we introduce financial discussions to our children?
Parental support, as you well know, and input is key to children's development in all areas, including finances. Where parents have knowledge and experiences to share, they can pass this on to their children to ensure they have an early appreciation of the importance of understanding and engaging in key financial life skills. Where parents have had professional advisors, financial advisors, accountants and solicitors, passing on what you've learnt from those professionals and the benefits that you've had in seeking professional advice will empower your children to do likewise. Hopefully they'll be able to navigate that financial world with that support and avoid many of the potential pitfalls that can unwittingly trip up the less well-informed.
And what's really interesting in your research, it also highlights that younger generations tend to be more comfortable discussing earnings. What factors do you think contribute to this generational shift?
There's been a greater focus on gender pay and a cultural shift away from expectations of a male breadwinner. The realisation that being the partner that opts to stay at home and provide for the family and children, perhaps sacrificing career aspirations and reducing earning potential, is as valid a role as being the main income generator. Also, there's been a wider shift away from money being the end goal and a source of all happiness, towards a more holistic view of the purpose and means to provide happiness and fulfilment. In essence, health, well-being and happiness is more important than money.
Thank you, Laura. I have one final question. Advocating for fair compensation, I think, is really crucial. How can we assess if we are being paid fairly for our role and experience?
I think, as I said a moment ago, there's a certain moral and ethical duty of employees to look to reduce those pay gaps and create parity. Although one could also look to benchmark themselves across the industry that they actually work in and source further information in terms of what their particular role, their particular profile would actually pay within the industry that they're in. But certainly, I do think businesses have a critical role to play in terms of ensuring there is more parity across that gender pay.
Thank you, Laura. Hit follow or subscribe to The Wallet on whatever platform you're on so you don't miss next week's episode. See you next Thursday.